tape.
Let's make it happen.
Let's go.
Time to wake up.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. It's the Bob and Sherry Show. And now from the palatial Bob and Sherry Studios, it's Bob and Sherry.
Welcome to the Bob and Sherry Show. Got a good one for you today. Coming up, we're going to take you down the rabbit hole, and we're not going to disrespect this legendary American music artist the way CBS did. Let me tell you that. And speaking of music, I am in day six of nonstop immersion in the new Taylor Swift album, Tortured Poets Department. My older daughter, Olivia, came by and spent the afternoon with me and made so much fun of me. And I was like, listen, when you were threatening to get the 21 Pilots logo tattooed behind your ear, did I mock you and tell you you were cringe? No. Did I think it inside? Of course I did. Let me have my thing. You know I'm a Swiftie. You know I love Post Malone. Can I please be allowed to have some enjoyment? Would you rather that I just sat and stared at the wall all day long and sent you long, sad text messages about how I miss you being little? And she was like, well, that is a fair point. It's just, it's unbelievably good.
Why does she feel that way? Why does she feel that way about you listening to the 31 cuts of this album? Is it because she's younger than you are? Or I don't understand.
She informed me. She informed me that she's exited her Taylor Swift era. And she is like, she was a big Swiftie as a kid, but you know, she's moved on and she's not doing that anymore. And I was like, that's really good. That's really good for you. That's really good for you. How would you like it if I said to you, I've decided to exit my subsidizing my children's lifestyle era. I did it. It was my thing for a while. And now I'm just moving on. Like, can I please? And maybe it's a mother-daughter thing. I don't know that. I don't see Kevin going through this with sons. Maybe it's a mother-daughter thing that they want to police what you wear, what you listen to, what you think. Then her roommate is like, I'm with Olivia. I just don't understand the appeal. I was like, you don't have to. It's not your thing. It's my thing. And then it got me thinking, because of course I spent the weekend fully in a nonstop listening party, just playing it on repeat. And I'm watching people, and this is a real thing that we do now as human beings. I'm watching people going out of their way on social media to tell you what they don't like. And there are two things about that. Number one, when you engage with content on social media that you don't like, the algorithm doesn't know that. And that's why it keeps forcing that content into your feed. So when you go on like Facebook and go, ugh, I'm so tired of Taylor Swift on a Taylor Swift post, the algorithm goes, oh, look, another Swiftie, and starts pushing more content toward you. So here's a life tip. If you see something on any social platform that you don't like, stop yourself from engaging. Don't make a comment. Don't do anything. Scroll past it. Otherwise, the algorithm catches you and puts you in the basket of people that are into that content. Here's the second thing. Why do we feel the need as creatures to invest so much energy into telling people what we don't like? Doesn't that seem kind of crazy to you? Like, why would you? There's only 24 hours in the day and you got to sleep for a handful of them, right? Why do we do that? Why do we go to so much trouble to complain and whine and announce all of the things we're not interested in? I'm curious.
Because we want to be seen. We want to be seen. Yeah. And I've said this for years. Everybody wants to be in show business, and now with the internet, you can be. And actually, some people are actually making a profit. I think people just want to be able to say, "I have an opinion. I exist, and here it is." And the thing about your Olivia commenting on your musical taste, I think that is a daughter thing, and not just daughter to mother. My daughter, Allie, especially, Landon a little less so, my daughter, Allie, keeps a sharp look at my appearance online. And once in a while, we'll say to somebody like her sister, you know that photograph that Bob, that Dad took with Sherry where they had on matching red turtlenecks, and he had that belt with the little silver buckles around it. He shouldn't have worn that belt. He should not have worn that belt. And then she also said, and I get this stuff back. She said, "Did you see the picture of Dad on the beach with those tight jeans holding Christian? Those jeans were one size too tight for him. He needs to loosen up."
It's the most savage scrutiny. No one can endure this kind of scrutiny. Because they go all the way back to, they'll go back to pictures before you were born. "Oh my God, mother, who did that to your hair? You weren't even born.
I know.
Let me live.
I know it.
We got morons in the news coming up and comedian Jeff Neese. This is Bob and Sherry.
If you've been trying to contact the Bob and Sherry website or True Weird Stuff website, you may have gotten a very strange result or have received warning messages from your antivirus software. That's because we've been the victim of hacking. We are working diligently to combat this attack and taking steps to make sure it doesn't happen again. Thanks to those of you who reached out to us via social media or via our app. We are aware of the problem and we are on top of it. We appreciate your patience as we work through this. And thanks from the entire Bob and Sherry team.
Sign up for our newsletter. We never spam you.
Never did.
Get Bob and Sherry exclusives. Just go to bobandsherry.com.
Well, it's midweek, and that means in the next day or so, Lamar is going to go take a look at a new movie and then review it on the Friday show as the People's Movie Critic. What are you looking at a little later on this week? Which movie?
Arcadian. Another movie by Nicolas Cage. He must be making a movie every week. I love him, though. I love him. I don't
Arcadian.
Care. I love him.
Yeah.
Arcadian.
Right. So we'll look for that on Friday. I was looking at this thing somebody posted. I don't know who does this, but a group of people were asked, what is the most memorable movie moment in your movie going experience? And I'm going to read 10 of them, and then I'm going to give mine, and y'all give yours, including you, Doc. The most memorable movie moment. When you think of your time spent in movie theaters or watching on TV, what one scene really jumps out at you? So this group of people came up with the following. Number 10 is Bridget Jones' Diary, where Hugh Grant and Colin Firth have that fight. You know the fight scene? Two Englishmen fighting. It's very, very funny. Number 9, Billy Elliot dances through the streets. Number 8, To Kill a Mockingbird, Atticus Finch delivers a powerful closing argument in court. My mom took me to New York City to see that, and it was one of my great moments with my mother. Number 7, American Pie. Oh, really? Jason Biggs experiments with an apple pie. Why is that in there? I mean, really? That was movie making at its most base, don't you think?
But it was shocking. I mean, you certainly were surprised.
That would be memorable. That'd be memorable. Yeah.
It would be memorable. Yeah, you're right about that. Spartacus, the I'm Spartacus scene. Number 5 is Mamma Mia, where Meryl Streep leads the singing of Dancing Queen. I think that's a great scene, but I wouldn't have put it in the 10 most memorable movie moments. Number 4 is Gladiator. Russell Crowe delivers his My Name is Maximus speech. And now number 3, Back to the Future. Lightning strikes the clock tower to power the DeLorean. That's a pretty good scene. That really is. Number 2, and this I think this is where it should be, in Jaws, you're going to need a bigger boat.
Yep.
Great scene.
That was good.
Great
was good.
Scene. And number 1, we could be guessing all mornings, so I'm not going to make you guess on this, is E.T., where Elliot carries E.T. on his bike and takes off.
That I was in tears by the time that scene happened. Yeah, I loved that. That was
something. Yeah, that was really something. So let's start with you, Sherry. What is the movie moment that would jump out at you if you were in this quiz?
These are always so hard for me. It's so hard for me to pick a favorite. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess the E.T. thing. Honestly, like I don't know. I mean, I never see anything coming. So I would say the end of The Sixth Sense, when I was probably the only person alive who didn't understand what was happening. That probably was the moment for me.
That was so creative. That was really creative. Lamar, how about you?
you know, God, this is the worst question in the world for me, because every movie that I watch has a memorable moment for me, either one that I love or one that I absolutely hate. But when it all said and done, I've maintained this for years and years and years. Mel Gibson in Braveheart, after they've killed his wife and he's coming in to seek his revenge, it's pouring down rain, and he's on the horse, and he's riding in, and everybody thinks he's come to give himself up, and he kills them all.
Yeah. That's a hell of a scene. I agree with you.
They killed his wife, and he wasn't going to have it. Oh, it was awesome. Right. Awesome. Yeah.
Okay, Max, which I know you go to the movies all the time. What's the scene?
When Andy Dufresne gets out of the sewage pipe. And it actually escapes from the prison and reaches up, and it's raining. That is a moment.
And Doc, what would you pick?
Mine's a little bit interesting. It's the log truck scene from Final Destination 2.
Even
to this day, if I'm driving on the highway and I see a truck with a load strapped to the back, I'm speeding past as quickly as possible. Yeah, I'm not staying back there.
Isn't it funny the power of some scenes in a movie or TV show?
You know, they're bringing that movie back. They're going to make another one after all these years. They are, and it will be. Yeah. It'll do great. I'm sure it will. Because,
I think my scene is Sean Connery in a black tuxedo in a gambling casino. He has a cigarette in his mouth. There's a gorgeous English woman across the table. And she says, "And what is your name?" And he, at that moment, the lighter clicks on and he goes, "Bond," lights the cigarette. James Bond.
So that's good.
I thought that's the coolest man in the world.
What about the moment in Fargo where you see that he's pushing a leg with a white sock foot into a wood chipper?
I just watched this movie. Yes, that is still shocking.
That's a moment.
That's a moment. This is Bob and Sherry.
Morons, and the news is sponsored by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, hey, let's go!
Harvesting idiots from around the globe.
You stupid moron.
It's Morons in the News with Bob and Sherry.
If you are a mom and you have two or three kids and they're young, you know that you are exhausted almost 24/7. And when you add to that the fact that you are a kindergarten teacher, the exhaustion must be just unbelievable. And you end up doing some things that kind of make you look like you belong in Morons in the News. I'm just going to say that Emily King, who is the person I just described, is probably in that state of mind. She just was so exhausted, she didn't realize that when she sent out invitations to her daughter's fourth birthday party, she sent out invitations to all 487 of her phone contacts by mistake.
Oh, no.
487. She went to check the invitations and looked down at the bottom of it, and it said number of attendees, 487. The quote is, "I kind of like said, wait, something is wrong, and all the blood started rushing from my body right to my head." 487. The bottom line here is you're going to need a bigger ball pit, a much bigger ball pit. So she had to go back and contact all of the people, and it was embarrassing because she was uninviting a lot of people at this point, but she had to do it. And she ended up, originally she was going to have 50. She ended up with 70. And that still is a lot of people at the McDonald's ball pit. Don't you agree?
Oh, yeah.
It's way too many.
Way too many. So we're going to give her a pass, even though she's in Morons in the News. It's tough having several kids and teaching elementary school.
Eight men allegedly operated a beer heist ring that swiped cases of Corona and Modelo Especial valued at hundreds of thousands of dollars from distribution centers and rail cars in Connecticut, Massachusetts, New Jersey, and New York. Seven of the men were arrested, according to the U.S. Attorney's Office. The man who prosecutors believe was a ringleader, Jose Cesari, turned himself in to federal authorities after being at large. The men allegedly carried out dozens of heists, waiting until night to cut holes in the fences of distribution facilities or to snip the locks off of rail cars to gain access to pallets of beer. They then allegedly used a moving truck to transport the stolen beer to the Bronx. They inspected it and then sold it. Seven other men have been arrested that were paid hundreds of dollars each night to help Cesari steal alcohol valued at hundreds of thousands of dollars. Cesari, who was allegedly present at all the robberies, often used a police scanner to help keep watch for authorities. Cesari also made posts on Instagram to recruit others to join the ring, who allegedly... And he robbed a rail car full of beer at gunpoint in Queens, prosecutors claim. Who's this guy think he is? Jesse James? I mean, oh my gosh.
I know. In Queens.
If convicted, the men whose ages range from 27 to 40 face 5 to 20 years in prison. Ooh. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, that's serious.
Yeah. We have a fun video for you today for today's Moron of the Day out of Seminole County, Florida. There's a three-legged bear that is well known to the residents. They nicknamed him Tripod. Last September, Tripod was caught on camera stealing White Claw, you know, the alcoholic seltzer drink. He was stealing White Claws from an outdoor fridge in Lake Mary, which is kind of hilarious. A bear snagging a White Claw with his claws.
Yeah.
He's back.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah. He's back. This time, a woman in Seminole County named Julieta Cuesta was inside her house when she heard the door open. Tripod came into the house and opened the refrigerator. And when he saw that there wasn't anything there he felt like eating, he closed it with a sigh and left. So basically, Tripod is like every teenager ever.
Exactly. Or me some nights. I've been
If that bear could talk, we have the video so you can watch it. If that bear could talk, it would have turned around and said, oh, there's only ingredients in this house, right before it left. That is Morons in the News. Straight ahead, we're going to take you down with Everyone Needs a Laugh with comedian Jeff Neese. And we're going to talk about how poor Honey Boo Boo has been completely and totally robbed. It's Bob and Sherry.
She's done it again. Sherry Lynch named one of the most influential women in radio. It's Bob and Sherry. Sherry.
All right, so as America braces itself for the trillions of cicadas that are about to descend on us, folks in New Orleans have another way of dealing with it. The New Orleans Audubon Insectarium has a restaurant, and they've always served all sorts of menu items that include, you know, crickets and wax worms and, you know, the Cajun spice crickets. The deep fried Cajun spice crickets are very, very popular. They're adding cicadas to the menu. The restaurant is called Bug Appetit, which is actually really funny. And they have been working up cicada dishes. There's a green salad with apple, almonds, blueberry vinaigrette, and roasted cicadas. There are some fried cicadas topped with Creole mustard and soy sauce. And the chef there said, I do dragonflies in a similar manner. And what they do is they toss them in flour and then they deep fry them in hot oil. Some of them are going to be toasted. Some of them are going to be roasted. You won't be eating any of them raw. There's no version of cicada sushi. But apparently, people who are used to going to Bug Appetit are looking very forward to giving the cicadas a try because they're great, big, meaty critters. Would you do
Lamar, how many cocktails before you chow down there?
I can't even imagine it. I cannot do it. I'm not doing that.
Hey, it's battered and deep fried. How bad can it be?
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, that is true, Lamar.
You're the man who...
Well, if I could get some honey mustard. If I could get some honey mustard.
You're the guy who pays extra for crunchy crumbs at Long John Silver's. You're not willing to give this a try?
What if I could get extra crunchy legs? Extra bug legs.
Honey mustard really does make almost anything better,
yes,
doesn't it?
Palpable. Yes, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to get your chance at Bug Appetit New Orleans. This is Bob and Sherry.
Everyone Needs a Laugh is sponsored by Easy Cater. Easy Cater has everything you need to make food for work work.
It's time for Everyone Needs a Laugh. Here's comedian Jeff Neese.
My dad was a hard worker. He had all sorts of weird jobs. That's the weirdest thing is, you know. And you know one thing that cracked me up about my dad? One thing that I got from my dad, because he was a snorer. I don't know if any of these ladies are married to a snorer. My dad could snore. He's one of those guys that will snore so loud that he wakes himself up. Do you know those guys will be just laying there? Just what? Dad, there was a pig in here. Didn't you hear him? Sometimes my dad does that pause in between the snore. What do you think, that a stroke and died on you all of a sudden? There's a pig having a stroke in here. I'm a big, fast snorer, too. I will admit to that. I'm a different type of snorers. Ladies, you know there are different types. I'm what is called a smacker. We sound like we have peanut butter on the roof of our mouths. Skippy. My oldest brother, Rick, is our favorite type of snorer. It's what we call the choker. Choker sounds like the peanut butter got stuck deep in his throat. Sometimes we got a good rhythm going. We could all dance to it. Scariest thing in the world. Anybody ever try to take the remote control away from a sleeping person? It's like sneaking up on a landmine, isn't it? Because you got that thought in your head, oh, I'm going to get it. I'm going to watch any show. I was watching that. You were sleeping. I was listening to it. Ladies, you ever notice a man will never get his lazy butt off the couch to change the batteries no matter how dead they are? Honey, can you come down here? My daddy loves all these silly shows. He loved the Home Shopping Network. Bought every horrible... He bought this thing called the Abdominizer. You ever seen this? A belt you wear around your belly, shoots electric volts into your stomach. They say you can wear it under your clothes. No one will know the difference. How hard are these people to pick out of a crowd?
That is comedian right. Jeff Neese. I knew you guys would certainly relate to that with your snoring situation.
My father, I could hear him snore in the next room, and I don't know how my mother stayed sane. He was such a terrible snorer, and I think part of it was Ballantine beer and the fact that he would stay up late listening to radio. But it was just awful to deal with. That poor woman.
On my flight home from Vegas a week or so ago, I took the first flight out in the morning. That was delightful, having to leave the house at 4 a.m. to get to the airport. Anyway, so I'm on the aisle seat, and the guy in the same row opposite at the window, he was snoring so loudly. I felt like the people on that side of the plane must have felt the fuselage shaking. And I'm assuming...
Aren't you so jealous of a guy like that, though? These people that can fall asleep like that. Lamar's one of them.
Nobody complained or bothered him, because I think everybody within the immediate, like, 3-4 row vicinity was looking at him like, man, what I would not give to sleep that hard on a plane. It was pretty wild. All right, we're going to get Jeff Neese posted up at BOBANDSHERI.com. This is Bob and Sherry.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast. Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
I am reading more articles these days about kidulting, doing silly things that you would do as a kid, but doing them as an adult. And even in the August New York Times, there was an article about a week ago about that. And somebody wrote and dropped this online, 25 things that adults are doing that are kind of foolish and kid-like. And I would like to share them with you right now because I am totally pro this. Playing your music too loud and enjoying it. Counting on your fingers, playing a board game, popping bubble wrap, coloring, watching a kid's TV show alone. I don't know, that's kind of creepy. Jigsaw puzzles, licking the spoon after baking a cake, Legos, playing on swings in a park, reading kids' books, making a wish and blowing out the candles, sandcastles at the beach, blowing bubbles in a drink through a straw, reading comics, playing with food, having water fights, wearing a onesie. Well, that's kind of kinky. Flying a kite, jumping in puddles. I did that when I was seeing Christian. Last time I saw Christian, there were some puddles. And he and I got in the puddles and started jumping up and down. And he could not stop laughing. Let's see, what else do we have? Kicking up leaves and playing with a yo-yo. I am so pro this kid-adult stuff. Because I think, well, I mean, spent my life, and frankly, anybody with me except for Lamar, have spent most of our lives doing silly things for a living. So I think it's helped me with my outlook on life. And I think I'm just very pro doing kid things. What do you think?
I love a yo-yo.
Are you good at it? Can you do tricks?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I can rock the baby.
You can rock the baby?
Walk the dog and round the world. Yeah, I can do that. Yeah.
I think that one of the problems that we have as a society is that we don't play as adults.
Yes.
We're discouraged from playing and daydreaming and being silly. You know, our lives are just, it's like you hit a certain point in your life and it's like, all right, here's the deal. You're going to work and look after things and be exhausted, and then you're going to probably die. And that is not a recipe. Like, that is not why God put us here. We were not put here to grind ourselves into the ground and live a joyless existence. We should be allowed to play.
My wife's going to live forever because she does this without even being prompted. She does it probably 4 or 5 times a day. It's the singing. It's the going out and playing with the squirrels with peanuts. And I know that if she's baked any kind of biscuits, I'm going to get one in the side of the head sometime during the day, and she's going to find it hysterical.
I'd like to see that myself. Yeah, I mean, fun. I think that playful people, I think playful people live longer and probably are healthier because, you know, you're not being constantly chewed up by stress and cortisol and all those horrible hormones.
I can't really think of anything somebody could say, let's go do, that I would go, no, that's silly. I mean, I don't care. I love to do it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Don't bother me a bit.
If it gives you a good laugh, that alone is worth it, right? If it puts a smile on your face, that alone is worth it.
I love an amusement park, riding the rides. Oh, God, I love that stuff.
I just don't even understand people that are so worried about, well, what will people think? How does it look for me to be doing that? Like, what do you care what people – let me tell you, whatever people are thinking ain't none of your business, and you're not going to be the better for knowing it. So just go ahead and live your life. Blow the bubbles, do the yo-yo, ride the roller coaster. Wear what you want. Sing out loud. Like, what do you care? You know,
there are so many bike paths where I live. So many bike paths. And this time of the year, there are a lot of visitors who rent bikes. And I have to tell you, I look at their faces, and these could be people who are 60 years old and have not been on a bike in 25 years. And virtually every one of them has a smile on their face because all of a sudden they're transported back to their childhood, how exciting it was. And now they're saying to themselves, I can still do it. I got the good balance and everything. I'm looking around at stuff. It's a wonderful, wonderful experience for people who haven't been on bikes in a long time. And it's a natural smile.
You can't be sad
and
be on a bike. Can't be.
You can't.
You cannot be sad. Nope.
I totally agree with you. So look for something in your life and loosen up, for crying out loud. It's Bob and Sherry.
Bob and Sherry, go.
Down the rabbit hole.
All right, we're sending this out to each and every one of you that is still furious with CBS. I was scrolling, I think it was Threads last night, and people are still ranting about CBS interrupting Billy Joel's Piano Man. So I thought it would be fun to give you a little Billy Joel doing a duet at Madison Square Garden with none other than Miley Cyrus. And I think you're about to have your mind blown.
Some folks like to get away, take a holiday from the neighborhood, hop a flight to Miami Beach or to Hollywood. I'm taking a Greyhound on the Hudson River line. I'm in a New York state of mind.
How's it going, Billy?
Ladies and gentlemen, Miley Cyrus.
I've seen all the movie stars in their fancy cars and the limousines. I've been high in the Rockies under the evergreens. But I know what I needed, and I don't want to waste more time. I'm in a New York state of mind. Hey, yeah.
It was so easy living day by day. Touch with the rhythm and blues.
But now, now I need a little give and take. The New York Times, the Daily News.
Comes down to reality, then it's fine with me, cause I've let it slide.
I don't care if it's Chinatown or on Riverside. Hey. I don't have any reasons, I left them all behind. So easy living day by day, out of touch with the rhythm and the blues. But now I need a little give and take. The New York Times.
Slide.
I don't care if it's Chinatown or on Riverside. No.
I don't have any reasons, I left them all behind.
Yeah! 'cause I'm in a... I'm in a New York state.
To let Billy Joel finish for once. So we'll get that posted up on the Bob and Sherry Facebook. It's really amazing. Like, you don't have to be a fan of Miley, but you cannot discount that girl's talent. She can sing. This is Bob and Sherry.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast. Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
I think I've mentioned once or twice that my wife has the most amazing sense of smell. I mean, she's like a super detective. She can smell somebody smoking a cigarette in the car next to us, you know? So she gets into my car. We're going out to dinner a few days ago, and she said, "What is the smell in your car?" And I go, "There's no smell in my car. There's no smell in my car." And so we, you know, had dinner. And the next day I got in my car, and I went, "Huh, there's something that's just, I don't know what it is. There is a little smell." So I got the covering for Finn, you know, dog covering in the back seat. And I washed that. And I said, "All right, that's probably what it is. I haven't washed that in a long time." I put it back in. I'm driving the next day, and there's still that smell in my car. And I go, "This is bad. I think it's getting worse. What is it? Is there something dead in my car?" And I'm driving around, and I'm going, "This is terrible." So I went to the supermarket, and I got my stuff, and I came out, and I had a lot of stuff, and I put it in the, I was going to put it in the trunk, and I opened up the trunk, and about a week earlier, I'd gone to Lowe's, and I got 8 bags of cow manure, and I put them in the back seat, but one of them I put in the trunk, and I forgot about it. I've been driving around with the smell of cow manure in my car for about a week.
Ew.
I know. So I have not told her herself yet. So
it's
I'm
a
just
secret.
Leaving.
No one tell.
Oh,
no one tell
her. I do not
her.
Want
no
her.
One.
I do not want her because I know what the reaction is going to be. In her head, what kind of a man drives around with cow manure and takes his wife out to dinner with the smell of cow manure in his car? So,
well, she'll also not understand how you forgot a giant bag of crap. Like, she just won't get that either. There's nothing about this that's going to go your way.
Hey, Sherry, with everything you and I have been through, it's easy to forget about a giant bag of that. Believe me. It's Bob and Sherry.
Bring whatever you drink and celebrate happy hour Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page.
How would you like to send a teacher on vacation to Florida this summer? Nominate a teacher at bobandsherry.com and they could win a trip from Visit Florida to Margaritaville Beach Resort in Fort Myers Beach.
If you have our app, it's free in Google Play and the Apple Store, and you can listen to the show and all of our podcasts and text the studio and enter contests. And there's a little cartoon mic in the bottom center. If you tap it and talk, the app will do the rest.
Hi, Bob, Sherry, Max, Lamar, and Doc, and everybody else that's part of the show. So I was listening to the podcast where you guys were talking about the horrors of what's for dinner. I've cracked the code. It's really easy. All you have to do is you go up to your significant other and you're all cool and you go, "Guess where I'm taking you for dinner?" Or, "Guess what I'm making you for dinner?" And then you make them guess, okay? And usually they're going to say what they want for dinner first.
Such a great idea.
And then when they say what they say, you go, "Yep, that's right." And then you either go out there or you get the stuff you need to make that meal that they suggested or said. So that's my little trick. Hopefully it helps you, Bob and Sherry and everybody else. And have a great day. Bye.
What did she What did she say again? What do you ask your spouse?
What do you feel like having for dinner? And they'll tell what you. Like? And then
guess. No.
Guess what I'm making for dinner.
Yeah. Guess what I'm making for dinner, or guess where I'm taking you out for dinner. And then when they guess, they're going to guess the things that's on top of their mind that they would really want.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
You know what they want, and then that's how you go.
But the here's the problem with that, because sometimes I would say that, and she'll say, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
No, here's the problem with that. But it won't apply to either one of you. If I say to Kevin, guess what we're having for dinner? The answer will be nothing found in a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to keep guessing spam till he gets it.
Oh, he's guessing something else. Yeah. Guess what we're having for dinner? No, not that. Not that either. No. Also not
you
that.
Know, yeah. It's funny. Guys can't outgrow that. That we just cannot outgrow. That is the first thing that comes to our mind. Maybe it's we're chuckleheads. Maybe it's, you know, we've always been 14-year-old boys. We just can't stop ourselves.
No. Mm-mm. So I can't say guess what's for dinner unless I'm planning to be what's for dinner, which is, right. You know, honestly, less work for me than actually cooking dinner. So I don't know why I resist. Guess what's for dinner? Oh, yeah, you guessed it. That is what is for dinner. That is exactly what's for dinner.
Boy, I feel foolish because my answer was a Mexican or hamburger. I feel so foolish.
You're leaving
left a lot on the table there, pal. Yeah, that's exactly
right. You're missing a lot. I have to be so careful how I phrase a question because I know what the answer will be if I'm not really, really careful. And so right. saying, guess what's for dinner is not going to, we're not going to, no.
Do you remember when we were first together and we needed to really get the show's name out there and we had a deal with the local TV station that we could produce our own TV commercials? Do you remember that period?
Mm-hmm.
Long time ago.
And we did one every day. They put a camera in the studio, and we made a new TV commercial every day after the show. It was insane. Yeah.
But there were some really slickly produced ones. We would sit in director's chairs, and we'd just start talking, almost like we were trying to show you this is what the show is. And I remember one of the punchlines was when she bends over the dishwasher, and we were doing – and it was pretty edgy, especially back then and on local television. But there was me hooting and hollering and you rolling your eyes. That has been sort of the baseline of the Bob and Sherry show all these years. And
reality. Yeah, it's my actual reality. If I say something like, hang on, let me get the vacuum so I can suck up that dust. Is that code for something?
There
yes,
it is.
That is me flirting. Yeah, yeah. That is how I flirt with a man. I say things like, right. Let me grab that Hoover and suck that dust up. That is me coming on right. to you.
Right, exactly.
Oh, it's Bob and Sherry. It's Caturday every day at BobandSherry.com. Enter to win a keepsake photo frame and a hide-and-scratch cat-scratching box. Okay, so we have another message. And you can leave us one at 844-52-SHERI, or if you have our app, which is free in Google Play and the Apple Store, just tap that microphone in the bottom center of the screen and talk. This is quite an adventure.
Hi, Bob, Sherry, Max, and Doc. I wanted to tell you a little something about the human spirit. I'm in the process of moving across the country, and I am on an emotional short fuse for so many reasons. But I've been laying stuff out by the curb because I am not moving, you know, two crock pots, two chipping the bowls across the country. Why do I even have that? And people are stopping and asking how much they are. Well, no, they're free. And I have gotten hugs, tears, thank you, bless you, all an array of affection. And it just made my heart soar. Now, as nice as that was, it's also pretty easy to piss me off lately. And the other day, Amish and a horse and buggy went by, took the free stuff off the table, and then took my table that is very clearly marked, do not take. Amish stole my table. So, yeah, that happened. And I'm sitting at a rest stop right now, headed towards New York City. And the back of the truck is loaded to the brim. And I just have bungee cords on it. Now, it feels secure, but going on the highway and when trailers pass you, I get really nervous. And a grandma truck driver, an actual grandma 18-wheeler, came up to me out of nowhere and said, "Honey, would you like some ratchet straps? They're brand new." And helped me get them on. It turned my day around. And the grandma was wearing a t-shirt that said OCD, Obsessive Cat Disorder. It made my day. There are good people. Have a good day.
I just love her. I just love that lady. And I hope, do you get the feeling she's going to be living in New York City?
I hope so. I'm just
right
so
in
sad
New York
that
City.
The Amish people stole her table. What a misunderstanding. Because you know that they wouldn't have stolen it. They must have thought it was free.
The grandma truck driver, that's a character in a movie. It's got to be. Heck, it could be a movie.
Hey, listen, if she's this emotional from this, imagine when she gets to New York City.
Oh, yeah.
I'm hoping she calls us back, and lets us continue on this adventure with her.
You know what is really amazing? There are people, not listening to us, but there are people that have 100-foot yachts. Just to turn the yacht on will run you $200 in fuel. Just to turn to get everything going there. Very, very expensive for a 100-foot yacht. And yet there are other people, and we're all the same species, that have tears in their eyes or breaking down because they got a free used crock pot. I mean, isn't that amazing that we're
really
all traveling? We're traveling through this life together, but good Lord, the difference.
There was I was scrolling, I was doom scrolling my Twitter, and somebody had posted a link to an article, the top faux pas to avoid with your yacht. And I was like, who is this for? How many people? First of all, like, if you have a yacht, do you even care about yacht faux pas, right? Like, how many people, show me the Venn diagram of people who own yachts and are socially anxious. That has to be a very, very small sliver of the yacht owning population. Why would you even need a tutorial in how not to make social faux pas on your yacht? If Lamar had a yacht, Bob, and invited you on it, and then Lamar was kind of like, I don't know, serving you a drink in a plastic cup, are you still going to be all right because you're riding around on Lamar's yacht?
When I think of a yacht faux pas, it's like, okay, I've got this yacht. Not 100 feet. Let's say it's 70 feet. That's a very big boat. My faux pas would be actually admitting that I have it to friends that I've known for years. Because my friends are going, can you believe this? He's got this thing. Are you kidding me? Who's he think he, you know, that would be my faux pas.
Let me clear this up. I don't care if it's the yacht, the pool, or the backyard. I'm not serving you a cocktail in plastic. Let me go ahead and say that. That's not
happening. And good for you.
I do not have a cocktail in plastic. That's out.
And
when this girl gets to New York, when somebody's hugging her, she's better be careful because they're pickpocketing her. That's what
they're
doing.
True,
they're pickpocketing. Yeah, it's not going to be good.
Good luck to her.
Nothing's ever stolen there.
Good luck to her. She's going to do fine.
It's Bob and Sherry. Can you believe this is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Bundle home and auto and save. Visit progressive.com.
You read it once.
I don't believe that.
And then you read it again.
I can't believe this.
It's Bob and Sherry's.
I believe this.
So do you guys remember last Friday I was telling you about how the country of Chechnya has banned any music that isn't between 80 and 116 beats per minute?
Yeah.
Leaving people to choose from, like Ice Ice Baby and a Phil Collins song. Everything else was too fast or too slow. Well, there is another shocking ban, and this time it's three countries. Kazakhstan, Belarus, and Russia have banned lace panties. They've been illegal now for a decade. You cannot buy or sell or be caught wearing lace panties if you are a woman in Russia, Kazakhstan, or Belarus. It's not about modesty. It's not about it's not anything that you would think. The governments of those countries have decided that lace panties are unhealthy and they are illegal. If that is not like the most gigantic government overreach, can you imagine? Can you imagine?
Tell me again exactly what is the crime that lace panties have, evidently?
They're bad for your lady bits, apparently. And the governments of Russia, Belarus, and Kazakhstan say you need to be wearing 100% soft cotton.
And boy, that is the government in your business. That government's rude. Government.
They are all the way up your business. So I guess there's a thriving black market in lace underwear in those three countries, Russia, Belarus, and Kazakhstan.
What is the composition of lace? It would be cotton also, wouldn't it?
No, not necessarily. No. A lot of times now it's poly. Like in the day, maybe it was silk, but now it's polyester and it doesn't breathe and it's scratchy. And, you know, I could go into more detail, but no one would enjoy that. So I'll just let your imagination run wild.
Where does the government stand on thongs?
Thongs, they have to be 100% cotton. They have to be 100% cotton. Now, one American OBGYN said that if you choose a high quality pair of lace undies, that's probably not going to cause you any problem. It's your cheap, scratchy polyester lace that these three nations are seeking to ban. And let me just say, do I want to share this? Okay, I will. All right. So, you know, every once in a while, you guys don't know because you're men, but every once in a while, your woman will just kind of look up from what she's doing and go, I should maybe make a little bit of an effort here, right? Now, you have been on the receiving end of that effort, but what you don't realize is that we go, oh, God, yeah, I haven't made an effort in a while. I should probably make a little bit of an effort here. So I decided, I need to make a little bit of an effort here. So I go on the internet and I'm looking for something that's going to be really, you know, effortful. And I find it and it's black and it's a thong and it's lace, but the front of it is laced up like sneakers, you know, with a little bow. It was so sassy. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. It was so cute. Mm-hmm. So I ordered it and it got here and it did feel a little bit like steel wool. Not going to lie. It was a little bit scratchy. But I thought to myself, don't be such a, you know, don't be ridiculous. Like, you know, make an effort. So I decided that the most fun way to make this effort would be to make it a surprise. And so that morning after I got out of the shower, I got dressed and I put on this really cute, really sexy, really sassy little handful of steel wool. And then waited for my moment. But a lot of things happened that day. One of the kids called and Kevin had to leave and then he came back and then there was some other stuff going on and it was hours before I could unleash the surprise of me making an effort. And he enjoyed it. He appreciated the effort very much. But for the next several days, Neosporin was involved. It was terrible. So I don't think the government needs to outlaw this stuff, but I do think that you, my fellow ladies, as buyers, need to go ahead and spend the extra money to get something that isn't made out of a recycled Brillo pad, because that's some tough stuff on the everyday. So enjoy your lace underwear and be glad you live in a country where the government has not yet crawled inside your britches. It's Bob and Sherry.
The Bob and Sherry website, the Oddcast, contest info, bobandsherry.com.
A man's life has turned into a real life horror movie after he has stumbled upon a hidden door in his basement. This chilling discovery was made shortly after he moved into a new house. And he found a secret room concealed behind a metal cabinet. The previous owners of the new house had blocked this hidden basement room off with a shelf, and the door on it does not lead to the outside. The guy says, my dogs won't go near the door, so I'm not opening it. And he concluded with a firm stance on keeping the door shut. Horror movies have taught me that the questions posed are always scarier and more interesting than any answer that I could get out of it. So that expletive is staying closed. Now, comments on social media include, hey, this is absolute torture. How do you sleep at night knowing there's a door in your house that leads to the unknown? Why don't you round up a posse? Obviously go through the door. You got to see what's back there. Dude, you've got to open this door. Just make sure you live stream it, you know, just in case. An additional social media user suggested, have you tried contacting the previous owners to ask why they blocked the door? Well, now, while the mysterious door remains unopened for the time being, the homeowner says he plans to eventually reveal what's behind it. He said, he admitted, it's truly against my nature to not open it, but my dogs won't go near it. That makes me not want to go near it. I'll probably open it eventually. I just don't want it to be nothing. I mean, the mystery is always cooler than the answer anyway. Well, here's what I say. Yeah, that's what they say in the movie. Then it turns out to be a portal to hell with a herd of three-fingered demons. Or even worse, a damp basement that'll cost you a fortune to dry out. So you might not want to open that door, you know? Either way, I think it's going to be a loser.
I couldn't sleep. I couldn't sleep in that house not knowing what's behind that door.
No.
I could not sleep in it. And here's the most ridiculous thing. The idea of contacting the people who sold you the house. Let me tell you from my own personal experience. Once somebody sold you a house, they disappear off the face of the earth.
They throw away their cell phone, go to witness protection.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, good luck to you opening that door. This is Bob and Sherry.
The Bob and Sherry Podcast.
You know, a person could lose their mind trying to make sense out of the whole Mama June, here comes Honey Boo Boo, pumpkin, sugar bear situation. Like, there's so much about that whole thing that's a hot, tangled mess. But here's the bottom line. Honey Boo Boo, who is the reason that family had any fame or any wealth or any opportunity, they spent all of her money. Her real name is Alana, and she would like to go to college now and get on with her life. And the money is gone. And there's a law. Lamar was talking about it in the break. Like, there's this thing called the Jackie Coogan Law. Jackie Coogan was, I guess, a child performer back in the day.
He was one of the little rascals, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
A certain amount of money from a child's earnings is supposed to go into what's called a Coogan account. And it just turns out that Mama June just spent her kids' money. Pumpkin, one of the other daughters, Pumpkin said that Mama June lost $500,000 to a bag of crack. And there was the money that was supposed to be saved, like in the Coogan account and in a college account, it's just gone. And in fact, Pumpkin has receipts and said that Mama June stole at least $35,728 from the Coogan account alone. And the money that Alana earned as Honey Boo Boo is also gone. And Pumpkin, her sister, said, you know, $35,000 pays for a lot of college. And Mama June said, well, I don't, listen to this. For those of us who come from dysfunctional families, this is going to make you insane. Ready? Mama June said, well, I don't think she's going to stick it out anyway. And I don't want to give her tuition money. And then she just drops out. Lady, she earned that. It's her money.
It ain't your money. Oh, my gosh.
You know what's surprising? Why was she able to access the money? The money should have been controlled by like a bank where you had to have a meeting to explain exactly why you were withdrawing your child's money.
It should have. You know,
the Duggar kids, Jill Duggar, she's like my favorite of all the Duggar kids, Jill and Derek. Nothing. They got nothing. The parents, her father actually, took everything from 19 and counting on and all of these shows. He made them, if you watch the documentary, Shiny Happy People, he made them sign, like before their wedding, the day, like I think it might have been the day of their wedding. Check me on that, Lamar. He made her sign this document that basically surrendered her earnings. And where was, so we can, I can, listen, I'm happy to kick these parents all day long. But then I'm also looking at like the TLC network and the parent companies and going, you were fine exploiting these people. And let's not kid ourselves. Here comes Honey Boo Boo, was the entire country making fun of that family. It was. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
The episode where Mama June and Sugar Bear were eating mayonnaise out of like Sam's Club sized jumbo tanks. Like we all know what the show was, and we all know why people watched, and we can all just get off our high horses and acknowledge it. The hell was that network protecting those kids? Where was the protection for the Duggar kids? It's gross.
Looking for ratings.
It's like,
ratings,
yeah, it's like, let's just feed these kids into the machine and profit off of them. And, you know, good luck to you. And
it's always been that way in show business. It's always been that way since the beginning of movies. It has always been that way. The kids were taken advantage of, and not just financially, but also with their health. I mean, Judy Garland doing The Wizard of Oz, they kept her on some sort of pills. Diet pills, I don't know what the substance was, to keep her very, very, very thin. And that went on for years after.
Oh, they had her smoking like 75 cigarettes a day to cut her appetite. This was a teenage girl. I don't know why anybody would want their kid in show business. It's awful. Even Zendaya, who I adore, she gave an interview recently and she said it was hard being the family breadwinner. Like, that changed everything in my family.
I bet.
It was a real challenge. Yeah.
I bet. And look at Britney Spears.
Oh, my gosh. It's Bob and Sherry.
Instant access to the podcast, and fun side. Just download the free Bob and Sherry app.
I keep meaning to tell you guys about a place that Tony and I had dinner while we were in Vegas for that convention. We went to Giada's restaurant, Giada De Laurentiis, your favorite television cook.
I love her. B-O-B. I love her, but I'm not allowed to say that in my house if I'm watching.
You're not allowed to say that you love her? Well, you know, you never know with celebrity branded restaurants. Like in Vegas, every celebrity has a restaurant. Gordon Ramsay has one. Yeah. Lisa Vanderpump has one. I mean, they're just everywhere. And so Tony got reservations at Giada's and we headed there for dinner because the two of us are like, are we away from home and our spouses were eating pasta? So we went, and can I tell you, every bite of that meal was fantastic, and
really?
The service was amazing. Yeah, I was so pleasantly, delightfully surprised because you just never know with something like that. And I love her too. Like I've always loved her cooking show. I love she's real tiny but with a giant head. I just could eat her up, right? And her recipes are authentic, but a lot of her food seems approachable. Like it's simple. You know, you feel like, it's not like an episode of Chopped where you're asked to take an octopus, some chocolate syrup and an emery board and
octopus
turn it into an appetizer.
Whatever. Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
So, Tony got this, bolognese sauce made out of wild mushrooms and vegetables. And I got a bucatini with a spicy Calabrian chili pomodoro sauce and fresh ricotta. It was so good. And so the waiter brought it over and it was beautiful to look at. And it was presented on the plate like Sunday dinner at my grandma Bartholetti's, like so legit. And I took one bite and closed my eyes and Tony said, good. And I was like, it's back in South Philly, grandma's good. It was that good. And I was so delighted.
I was in a barbecue restaurant years ago, and I'm sitting at the counter there, and there's two TV screens on. One of the screens had on some sports, ESPN or whatever, and the other one had on Giada. And it's a barbecue restaurant at noon, and there's 10 stools, so there's a lot of guys. It's all guys. Every one of the guys was transfixed on her. And when I say I can't watch her in our house, Mary will come in and catch me watching Giada, and she'll say, She is such a tease. All she wants to do is make men hungry and show her boobs.
Listen, the thing about Giada is her beauty is wholesome and approachable. She is not overtly sexy. Like, you don't look at Giada chopping a lemon and go, yeah, I'd like to hit that. She's wholesome, beautiful. And she's sparkling and bubbly and charming and enthusiastic. She is as appealing to female viewers as she is to male viewers. And she's a really good, professionally trained chef. So it's not just that, like, she's adorable and can make a meatball. Like, she's so legit. And her restaurant, the menu was just incredible. The service, everything about it was just like, yeah, I cannot believe that I'm on the strip in Vegas having this really authentic, nostalgic tasting Italian food. So just wanted to shout that out if anybody, because I see our listeners on social heading in and out of Vegas all the time. If you get a chance to get a reservation, I don't think you'll regret it. Like, we were clean plate club for sure. It was absolutely yummy. And it was so nice because, you know, like when you're a fan of someone and then you have like a disappointing experience and you're like, oh, I'm still a fan, but
You don't meet your heroes.
That was not this. So the next thing I'm going to do is give Gordon Ramsay's restaurant a try. I've heard from people, like from listeners, that it's really, really good. I just wish that part of the experience was Gordon coming out and yelling at you. I would pay extra. By Gordon Ramsay. If you get a chance, hit up Giada's in Vegas. And if they have that that Calabrian chili, Pomodoro Bucatini, it's Bob and Sherry.
Now, let's open up the Bob and Sherry Archive Vault.
Miley Cyrus rolled into a Mercedes-Benz dealership in Encino, California, and she selected for herself a white 2012 SL550 convertible and paid cash for it and didn't even trade in her old car. $127,000.
Wow.
There's a lesson in here for all of us, okay? And so before you go, oh my God, $127,000 for a car, I want you to just remember the lesson. And the lesson is, it's freaking awesome to be rich.
That is the lesson.
Okay. Just remember that, kids, as you're heading off to school today and you're debating, should I completely slack off at my studies?
No.
Remember this. It is awesome to be rich.
Go ahead and get rich.
So yesterday, we're coming up on, I don't want to say we're celebrating a major anniversary, because in fact, our major anniversary is going to be completely ignored by pretty much everyone. We're coming up on having our major anniversary ignored. And yesterday on the show, early...
You and I.
The two of us. We've been together forever.
Yeah, 20 years.
We've been... When people say, how come you always fail at marriage? I say, I don't always fail. I've been with Bob for...
That's right.
20 years.
That's right.
Yesterday on the show, you totally... I don't know what happened to you. You totally disrespected me.
What are you talking about?
Totally. We have it on tape. Here we go.
It's the Bob Lacey Show. My wife, Mary, and I were watching... I said that yesterday?
That's your voice, isn't it? Two tits.
No, that was yesterday.
Oh, that's got to be
the
old.
It was in the first hour of the show.
Talking about The Bachelor. Play it again.
It's the Bob Lacey Show. My wife, Mary, and I were watching TV. I'm sorry.
My wife, Mary. How many wives?
Wait a minute. Did you cut her name out? You know how you can do that? You're very good at editing.
How many wives named Mary you got? Play it again.
It's the Bob Lacey Show. My wife, Mary, and I were...
No, I did not cut her out. You think I'm jerking you around? I didn't. I heard it yesterday, and I looked back at Todd, and I went...
Do you know how many emails I got about that yesterday?
Oh, come on.
Swear to God. I got about that yesterday? I'm okay with it.
I didn't want to hear what they said.
As a contributing member of the Bob Lacey Show, geez. I've decided I'm going to...
Stop.
As the hood ornament of the Bob
as
Lacey...
As the hood ornament on the Bob Lacey Show, I'm going to be coming in a little bit later in the morning... So as to give you more time in which to have the play it for me.
It's the Bob Lacey Show. My wife, Mary, and I were watching.
How old could it be? How long have you had a wife named Mary? Let me think. Oh, that's right. You got married at my house. Let me think. About a year and a half. So how old could that be?
Todd, do you have any ideas to help me out here, buddy? Keep digging, baby. Thanks, Todd. It's the Bob Lacey Show. My wife, Mary, and I.
You're looking to him for help. You went to go to the bathroom, and Todd was like, did you hear that? I said, I heard that. Max, well, did you hear that? I heard, yeah, that. I heard that.
Here's the thing, because the prescription drugs that my doctor gave me, they're really strong. So sometimes when they hit me, I see some trails and stuff. So when that happened yesterday, I thought I was like out in La La Land. But then Max looked at me and I looked at him.
It's the Bob Lacey Show. My wife, Mary.
Wait, did I take that Z-Pack yesterday?
No.
At that time?
No.
I took it. Oh, I took it when I got home.
Honey, it's antibiotics, not morphine.
Yeah.
It's the Bob Lacey Show. My wife, Mary, and I.
Wait a minute. Something's coming back to me right now. After I did that, I corrected it.
No, you did not.
I did correct it.
We pulled the tape. All right. You know what? We pulled the tape.
No, I don't want you to play the whole thing.
No, I
really don't.
Because you didn't correct it.
Hey, listen, please don't. It's the Bob Lacey Show. Please don't play it. It's the Bob Lacey Show.
I can't wait to see what's coming up next on the Bob Lacey Show. I am so excited. I'm hoping I'll be caller number 9 this morning on the Bob Lacey Show. Maybe get some of those sexy socks I've heard about.
It's the Bob Lacey Show.
I just want to make sure that you want to work with me for the next 20 years.
The Bob Lacey Show.
I was just testing it. What did the people say?
The people.
Tell them I just made a mistake.
The people.
I don't
were
want to know really
amused.
What the people said. They were amused?
The people were
so
amused.
They knew it was just a slip.
The people were amused.
You know how much you mean to me, seriously. I don't know. I wasn't feeling well yesterday.
No, I feel good.
I wasn't feeling well yesterday.
I'm the girl who laughs on the Bob Lacey Show. It's what I've always aspired to be.
Hey, can you do traffic?
I'm hoping to. If you'll give me my big chance on the Bob Lacey Show.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast. Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
A Starbucks employee was shocked after getting a note from a customer. She was training two new partners, and it was a buy one, get one free deal going on. And there were only two people on the floor. And the drive-thru was back way, way, way up. So she jumped over to help the two employees get caught up. And she said, you know, as I was handing out the coffee, I made sure to apologize to each customer for the wait. You know, every car was really understanding. But this one guy, he just sort of scoffed when I apologized and just drove off in a huff. The guy came in the next day with a note, and it said, please accept my heartfelt apology for my boorish behavior yesterday. I was in a bad mood, and I was very impatient, and I was in a hurry. None of that was your fault. You were working hard, and I made your job harder. Luckily, my girlfriend was in the car, and as we drove off, she told me what a jerk I was being, and she called me out on it. We both work in customer service. The note included a gift card, and the barista said, you know what? That's pretty admirable. We all have bad days, and most of us have acted in ways that we're not proud of. Really good on him for recognizing the misstep and righting the wrong. That's pretty cool.
I love this story. I love this story.
Yeah. It's one of the hardest things to do, to say, I was wrong. I was wrong, and I apologize to you without, you know, any sort of complicated backstory.
Look at the way people get angry and blame employees who are working sometimes in impossible situations. You think that barista is the reason why that store's understaffed? No.
That's true. Yeah, that's very true.
No.
I am seeing so many signs that say, please be nice to our employees. We are understaffed and they're working as hard as they can. That's a sign at the dry cleaner I go to.
And pretty much every restaurant I go into is understaffed. That's why people get upset because there's empty tables and we're standing in line. But what they don't understand is you got to have people to wait on the tables.
Right.
So, hey, if this guy was right, he did the right thing. He felt bad about it. He made it right. We appreciate that. Hey, this is Bob and Sherry.
Thank you so much for listening to the Bob and Sherry podcast, the Oddcast, and Talking Lamar. We would love it if you would subscribe, rate, and review, and maybe share it with a friend on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again so much for listening.